It's the most wonderful time of the year, everybody. Four games in 11 days. That means a lot of Neil Harris's tricky ewes to watch. And even better for you lot, a lovely set of bumper pods. Kicking off with this double preview of Exeter and Oxford. My name is Jules and I'm joined by a Christmas elf in the shape of Matt Caspel. How are you, mate?
Is that a height joke? Or
It's a sort of everything joke.
Just an everything joke. Because yeah. my impish charm, I guess.
Mainly height, though. Yeah, we'll go with
mainly height, though. shame it's not me and George, really. That's it. Could have had all the elves.
Well, George's busy helping Santa Claus, obviously, this time of year.
Well, of course. Very busy time for him. Yeah.
You work for yourself, so you managed to get the time off.
It's either that or he's just actually doing his job, yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing, man? Are you looking forward to the busy schedule over Christmas?
It gets a bit harder, I guess, with when you got a kid and you've got to think about all this politics of Christmas and where to be. Like, I've normally, to be honest, I normally just gravitate myself around the football calendar. So it's like, all right, Oxford away, where's the best place to be for me to get there? And that's completely fallen by the wayside this time. So Boxing Day, actually, we're going to be driving early. I've got to drive my wife and baby back to Surrey from Hertfordshire. And then drive up to Oxford. A sort of bit of cognitive dissonance, convince yourself that it's not a massive detour, but if you look on a map, it's pretty serious. Yeah, it's pretty serious.
Well, I mean, that's some pretty good commitment, to be fair. I'm up in Derbyshire for Christmas. So after that, I can't be bothered to drive down to Oxford. The thing about Boxing Day games that I always forget is like the lack of trains being on.
No trains.
Really annoying.
Means it's all a bit flat atmosphere wise. Everyone's a bit stuffy from the day before.
And I was thinking about last year, like we made Shrewsbury travel to us on Boxing Day. That's a brutal Boxing Day fixture for them, isn't it? I mean, I know Oxford's not much better for us, but I mean, Shrewsbury's way worse.
I suppose in that though, I'd prefer if it's on like Shrewsbury away, just write it off. You know what I mean? You're like, no chance.
Yeah,
Oxford's a bit tempting, so it's
a bit on the edge, I guess.
It's close. Yeah,
it's also Oxford's a nightmare to do on the train from Cambridge in the best of times. So I suppose it doesn't wipe that out.
That's true.
Well, anyway, look, before Oxford, we've obviously got the prospect of Exeter at home on a Friday night. Exeter being one of those fixtures that, you know, we seem to play Exeter all the time over the years. So
I agree with that. Yeah, we're always playing Exeter. Always, but definitely Exeter now. Yeah.
Definitely more so extra at the moment. And, you know, let's pick out a couple of memories. What are your, I mean, maybe let's, do you want to leave the obvious one out or do you want to go for the obvious Exeter fixture?
No, we'll leave that out.
Yeah, is there any other fixture over the years that particularly sticks out?
Redacted. I guess Exeter was one of our COVID games, right? As you know, only too well. The 4-0 defeat.
4-1.
4-1, we scored.
I think we scored, but we were like 3-0 down at half time. I mean, this was one that I think we've mentioned on the pod a few times that me and Tom managed to, through our club contacts, now we're obviously, you know, in the pocket of Cambridge United, we managed to managed to get ourselves in on a media pass during COVID, right towards the end of that season, where we'd been absolutely brilliant for the vast majority of the season, watched it all from our living rooms, and then we managed to get into the one game and we're 3-0 down at half time. Me and Tom stood in the Habin, just the two of us. So that was some pretty bleak memories. What were you up to that night?
That's great. That day, we had a socially distanced, very respectful to the law at the time, barbecue in my garden, even though, what time of year? It was cold, I think.
I think it was April, but it was cold, yeah.
But it was cold, yeah. That was it. Yeah. It wasn't good weather. So I had to... Six of us Cambridge fans sat in my garden under a big parasol, done a real job of like getting a TV into my garden properly, like with the Wi-Fi, really gone for it.
To watch that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to be honest, it was okay for me because it was just in my garden. But obviously other people had traveled like quite a long distance to get down to Surrey, really. And it wasn't like a nice sunny barbecue. Nor was it a good game of football. I think it put end. Callum Burton's in goal?
Callum Burton was in goal.
Big old gaff put an end to the old Burton Mitov debate.
I'm not going to do the accent because I think Tom's much better at it than me. But Marlon Given Burton, obviously, when you go to an empty football stadium, the real the thing that you really notice is what the players all say to each other, not just that, but what the sort of abuse they give the referee, which I actually think is a lot worse than a lot of Sunday games that I've seen. Like I saw Digby have like this running conversation with the ref for about like 10 minutes for some like quite innocuous free kick when we're 4-1 down. And it's like, you feel that intensity in a really different way when you can hear everything they're saying. And Mullingham was giving Burton an absolute earful at one point in that game. Do you know another one that's just popped into my head from last season, Exeter away?
No, not last season, Exeter away.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the most forgettable game of all
exactly.
time.
But that's why it's popped into my head, because that was the sort of game that, like any other season, I didn't have anything on that day. I just decided not to go to it because of the form we were in and how predictable it was.
I left on like 68 minute. Like, yeah. That's probably the earliest I've left a game, I reckon. It was so done as
so
a contest.
Done.
It was just so finished.
Yeah, yeah.
We had spied we could get like an earlier train or whatever, and we were like, right, let's just get out of here. So let's not talk about that.
Well, look, let's not talk about all these defeats, Wex. So let's talk about this week, because I think we go into this with a bit of optimism. 4 points from 2 games, 2 comeback results. How are you feeling? Optimistic?
No, because of what is next on the running order, which we might as well just get stuck into, which is obviously maybe this is Cambridge United, maybe this is like lots of other football fans. I just feel like we have a really rich history of giving teams in Exeter's situation a leg up. Like, their fans will be, I mean, you talk about not wanting to go to games or not traveling. A Friday night just before Christmas in December, I've got a huge amount of respect for any Exeter fan that makes it up. It's a long trip anyway, and obviously back on a Friday night when your team is in the form they're in. Bottom of the 10-game form table. They've scored 3 goals. They've scored once since October in the league. They've conceded 22 goals in the last 10 games, and they've scored 3 goals, got 3 points. What could go wrong, mate?
Yeah. You just know what's going to happen.
What could go wrong?
It's almost too predictable again, isn't it?
It really fits this like this weird arc, like narrative that you know, Charlton, you might say a bit unexpected, and particularly unexpected once you've gone 2-0 down. You go 1-0 at home against Blackpool down, and then you're thinking, I don't know, will you turn this around? We've had two kind of really positive results and performances, and now it would just be sort of, this is textbook classic Cambridge United, to now have what you would look at and say, if you're being honest, we shouldn't have an easier game all season. Theoretically, this should just be the easiest game that we have this season. Theoretically, it'd be classic just to go and lose this game, wouldn't it?
That's the thing. You go into it with like the optimism that we have after, like you say, after Charlton and Blackpool, and then you go, right, home game against what is technically at the moment on paper the worst side in the league. Almost like you couldn't want a better fixture now. God, it's painful football sometimes, isn't it? You know, just to add to that, they've scored one goal once in the league since October, as you mentioned. They've actually only won once in the league since the 2nd of September. So
This also just goes to show that whilst we were having our sort of bad run of form under Bonner, and obviously there's tons that we've been over the last few weeks, but there is this thing where you just, even though you're not, you just believe that your team is the worst in the division and that you're having the worst run out of everybody. And there is no way that anyone is having a worse like set of performances, results, goal scoring, whatever it is. This is proof that it is usually almost always going on somewhere else around us. There normally is a team, even when our form is rubbish, there's normally someone who still has it worse somehow.
And I we should have looked this up before doing this, but I was thinking, 10 game, did we ever have a 10 game spell?
The message board says no. The message board, I think the other day, someone posted that Exeter's form now is worse than ours was at any point over the last like 3 years. And you think about how lowly we felt at certain moments. I guess only crumb of comfort for them is they're not in the relegation zone somehow yet, I guess. And it is only December, so you've got at least a transfer window and you've got time on your side, I guess.
Yeah, we'll hear from David Earle in a second on a few more details on Exeter's, on what has actually happened. But something he mentions, which I know was doing the rounds on our social media at the time was, and this is proper relegation card bingo. Do you know what I'm going to say here? When they went up to Bolton and lost 7-0 and they played their centre back up front.
Oh no. I didn't even know that. That's great.
Yeah, like that's proper relegation card bingo, that. Like trying something different. And then there's that. And I think that was maybe a turning point for a lot of their fans. But they do still have Gary Caldwell in charge. So again, for now, I wonder what the situation
That'd be the ultimate, isn't it? Is if they just sacked him.
Yeah.
You'd be like, this is just inevitable. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So look, it's funny with them, isn't it? Because I mentioned it to David on the preview that we'll play in just a moment. But it does seem like when you look at their form for the season, you look at, you know, the way their season's gone, it's not just similar to ours this season, but it's really similar to ours last season. Maybe obviously we never went quite for a spell as bad as this, as you pointed out. But the way they started the season, they were flying really high in August. And then from like September, it just drops off a cliff with some big ones in there, like that 7-0 to Bolton. So similar to sort of playing us around this time last year. So yeah, let's see. Let's get that preview from David Earle now, one of my favourite guests to get on the pod every year. So here's David Earle from My New Football Club. Hey, David, thanks so much for joining the pod again. How are you doing?
Very good. Very optimistic. Very
good. So normally you're obviously a voice of optimism. I see your tweets, playoff push and everything. Exeter, brilliant season last year. This year started so well and fell off a little bit. How's it all going?
Have you sort of noticed as a fan of another club? Do you notice?
Yeah.
Have you noticed like Exeter going, bloody hell, what the hell's going on? Have you? Is it the talk of the league? Is it?
It's a little bit. I'll tell you why I've noticed it. Because last year we had a very similar season to you. We started so well and then didn't win for, you know, 2 or 3 months, or can't exactly remember. And I'm just looking at your form and it's just like, you know, there's not a lot of green knocking around, is there?
No, there's no green apples. No, there's loads of red tomatoes.
In your experience, since you've been an Exeter fan, everything's been all on one upwards trajectory.
Yeah,
right?
More or less. Yeah. Yeah. And this year, like pre-season, I saw them play against Coventry, I think, and all the new players. And I just thought, these lads look fantastic. And then the start of the season, like you said, the first, I don't know, 5-6 weeks. And there was one game against Reading where all the old guys around me watching, I could hear them chatting. They were going, I've never seen, this is the best football we've ever played at the club in 50 years of coming. And I thought, something's happening here. And then we haven't won. I don't understand it.
What's
what
going
happened
on
with Cambridge? Why did you stop winning? And then where did you end up in the end last year?
We saved us. We were 1 point above the drop game of the season as well. And it took us a miraculous April. We were 9 points adrift as we went into April. Or 8 points, 8 or 9 points, can't remember. What happened with us? We had a load of injuries, was our biggest problem. And we didn't.
So did we.
Yeah, yeah. That was the biggest problem. So who's out at the moment, your sort of key players that...
Well, I say we like, I'm pretty sure everyone's back now, but I felt like we had 6 weeks where like Rankin was out. He went back to Chelsea. Our new striker, Admiral, he was injured, and then he came back and he wasn't on it. And James Scott wasn't our other striker. And then the two, what I call them in the middle, the Wonderful Brothers. Ryan Trevitt was out for a bit. And then I just feel like there hasn't been the main 11 who started the beginning of the season. But I feel like everyone's sort of back now. And now it's time to... Yeah, I mean, we were playing our centre-back up front for 2 or 3 weeks.
I was just about to ask you about this. Yeah, was that an injury thing or was that a...
I think that was just... thing. I don't know. Like, we're in a sticky situation here. Let's try any of the shit. I think we lost 7-0.
So imagine that. Yeah. That was an experiment that hasn't been repeated since.
No, I think we did it twice, but it's just been... It's been a horrible couple of months, even longer. But Saturday, we were really good. Okay. We were really good. Our attitude was brilliant. The second half, it's the first. I think everyone sort of came away going, okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Bring on Cambridge.
Yeah. Has the manager changed something then to sort of bring that form back, or is it just, or maybe not form, but that upturn in performance? Have people lost faith with the manager over this run, or have people behind him? Yeah.
No, well, I don't. I mean, yeah, I've definitely seen negativity, but there's definitely people. There's a pretty large percentage backing him. I'm definitely backing him. John, who I do the podcast, is backing him. I just feel like I can't forget the first 6-7 weeks of the season where we were playing such lovely football that it's got to come back again. And then someone said to me, maybe the other teams weren't up to scratch yet in the season because it was August, September. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe everyone's just playing better now.
It is a weird time of the season, right? Because like we started well, Exit started well, Port Vale started really well, and then all three of us dropped off a lot since then. So maybe it's just one of those things. So how does Caldwell have you lined up? How does he what sort of football do you play if you have to describe it?
I don't know.
Great.
No, I don't know.
Do you have a big try and knock? Who have you? Do you try and knock it around, or do you have a?
We try and knock it around. Yeah, we play some lovely bits and pieces. So, but we've been sort of toothless in the final third. We usually have lots of possession. I don't know if that's because the opposition are giving us the ball because they sort of know where. But we've been very well. I mean, we've scored 2 goals in, I don't know, 12 games. Really, it's been that bad. We scored on Saturday. Even my wife went, ah! She sort of went nuts, and she hates football. I think she couldn't believe we put the ball in the goal. But yeah, so we're neat and tidy. It's just been toothless.
Yeah. Is that because you didn't replace Sam Nombe, right? And Giovanni?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. James Scott hasn't quite been on. He scored at the start. I think he had 3 or 4 goals in the first month. And then he got injured. And then since then, you know, it's been a bit of a struggle. Admiral, our new signing on loan from Luton, I think. I think he's injured now. So he's played 2 or 3 games. So you are kind of going, where the hell are the goals coming from?
Yeah.
And that's, you sort of hear that a lot. But with us, it's like, no, seriously.
Seriously?
Where are the goals coming from? Yeah.
That's music to my ears. So, okay, if you had to pick out a player or two, if you play, you know, you said you play well on Saturday. Is there anyone in particular who you thought played really well, or anyone that we should be, any United fans listening should be looking out for?
Well, on Saturday, I mean, we lost our star player, Dimitri Mitchell, who's been just amazing this year, even when we're going through the crap. But on Saturday, Cech Diabate, who was playing up front, went back and centre back because our captain Williamson was suspended, but he had a brilliant game at the back. Ryan Trevitt is class in the midfield. So's Tom Carroll. Those two, when they're on song, are really good.
That's the Wonderful Brothers, is it?
They're the Wonderful Brothers.
Wonderful Brothers.
Honestly, Ryan Trevitt is so good. He's a great player. Tom Carroll used to play for Spurs. He's obviously quality. And Yannick Wildschut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So he's kind of, I don't know what we've got there. Sometimes you go, Jesus Christ, look at his legs. Look how quick he is. Like he scored on Saturday, and it potentially, when he's got the ball, you feel like something could happen. So I think he's our threat.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's a bit of a name in the division, so he's played at a higher level than this, I think.
Yeah, I did Norwich buy him for like $6 million or something. Or
may well have done.
Something like that. Yeah.
Say it with enough confidence and it's got to be true.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this is a bad time to play us because we've got our feathers plumped.
Interesting. So that's interesting because I think it's a bad time to play us as well because we've just got a manager bounce. One is for the game on Saturday and it's going to be interesting. Maybe a bit good game.
Maybe I think John, who I do the pod with, and Alfie, who I did the podcast, I think they're both going to Cambridge on Friday, isn't it? Friday night?
Yeah, Friday night. Yeah.
So the pod's there. The pod will be there.
Well, brilliant. We'll have to get a post-match reaction from them or something. How's your man? Last time we spoke, Alex Hartridge was the man you picked out. Has he been getting on? Because he liked his hair.
He's had a bit of a wobbly season, actually.
Has he? Still got that?
Still got what?
Nice hair.
Yeah, no need to ask. Always will. Always will have. No, he's had a bit of a wobbly season. But Saturday, he was good. They all felt like they were really fighting for... Because we went a man down. Jack Aitchison got sent off. So we were 1-0 down, a man down, against Stevenage, who were flying. So it felt like a really good performance. And it really felt like the team were playing for the manager. So Friday night could be tasty, could be spicy.
What's your prediction?
Well, I didn't realise you had a new manager. I don't know where the goals are going to come from. I think we're going to win 1-0.
Okay. And who's going to score?
I haven't got a fucking clue. I reckon it'll be a ghastly header just from a shitty corner.
Yeah. Proper. You know those, like, do you follow that crap 90s football on Twitter? Yeah. Like that, yeah. But recreated. Yeah.
But you're up against a team who are fighting, so good luck.
On that note, it's always a pleasure, David. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much, David. As I mentioned, always one of my favourites, David, quite openly will say things like, I don't fucking know, when you ask him, like, how they're going to line up, which I absolutely love.
It's just honest, isn't it? You know,
it's just honest.
You got the likes of Swindle coming on this pod and pretending that he knows and bumbling his way through, like, what was your best 11 under Bonner or whatever. You know, just be honest, mate. You don't know. It's fine. It's like, I don't know anything about League One. Yeah, isn't Cambridge United. I've got nothing. I've got no idea.
That's going to go well in the quiz, mate, on Friday. David does mention there that Exeter's biggest problem is their lack of goals. And one thing I think we can, despite having conceded, you know, not kept a clean sheet under Harris, granted, in two difficult games, I do think our defence is actually probably, strangely, I think if you look at the average over the course of the season, been maybe one of our strongest suits in keeping teams out, especially teams which maybe don't have the quality that some do at the top half of the division, without meaning too much disrespect to Exeter. I think we've been fairly decent at that, even under Bonner, definitely. And one player that's been done really well recently is Jubril Okadina, named in Team of the Week as well after his game against Blackpool. How well do you think he's doing since his comeback, which started under Bonner?
Yeah, great for Okadina. I think in a way, the story of these centre-backs and the way we defended kind of tells the story of our entire season, I think. So we started with that low block with obviously Ryan Bennett and Michael Morrison. It was really effective. It worked really well. We were hitting teams on the breaks. We started great August, September. Usual exploits from us now, it feels like. Go top of the league in September and then fall apart completely, which is obviously what Exeter are up to at the moment as well. Now Okadina's come back in. You rightly point out, I mean, we said it on the last pod, Bonds might feel a little hard done by because he brought Okadina back in. He got Kachunga back in the hole. Like, Bonds had just set the tone for maybe some of the stuff that's going on. They haven't changed a huge amount. But Okadina's doing really well. I think overall, we're starting just higher up the pitch and he's allowing for that to happen. He's got maybe a bit more pace. I think we saw the other week he made a couple of little mistakes, actually. But he has the speed and the, I guess, intelligence to be able to recover from those in a way that maybe we weren't able to before. And equally, I think just having a bit more pace in the back four is just allowing us to start higher up, set a bit more of a tone. The wingers look a little bit more free. So it's not all because of Jubril Okadina. I just think he's a good kind of embodiment now of how we're approaching the games and why it's a little bit more, I guess, optimistic, a little bit more exciting to watch, a little bit more of a feeling like we're going to be capable of scoring goals. So, I don't mind if we keep conceding, but we keep coming back and getting points and winning games, then arguably that's one of the most fun ways to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okadina, I'm also quite pleased for him sort of like on a personal level, because this is a guy who had so much potential, so much promise, and it's not like that's been lost. It's just he was victim of playing in that team around December, January, when we went up to Sheffield Wednesday, Shrewsbury, when like Greg Taylor was playing with alongside him and Ben Warman in front of him, and just so exposed against good sides due to our injury crisis, I suppose, and maybe a lack of recruitment in general, and just a team that was so out of shape and out of form, that I think that he really suffered from that. But you know, that potential hasn't gone away, and I think you mentioned those mistakes. It got flagged to us on Twitter by someone. Sorry, can't remember your name now off the top of my head, but there's one that he's clipped out from the highlights, which right at the end of the game, and I'd actually forgotten entirely about it. It's one of them things that you remember for the rest of the season if there's a goal straight after it, or you just forget about it entirely, as you have done once you win the game. But he sort of lets it bounce on the edge of the box and gives Blackpool maybe their best chance in that when they're chasing that goal in the second half. And it's a bit of a naive sort of thing to do, but in general, it's impossible to say that his general performance isn't improved from where he was. And if that keeps happening, that potential is going to be realised at some stage or another. A little bit further up, Paul Digby's going to be missing. Another red card. Yeah, we think he's suspended for two games.
I think that's right, but what a mistake to make if it's not.
Yeah.
Because you've done it. You should be getting sent off on Friday and then you've got Boxing Day off. Like,
exactly, yeah. Boxing Day and New Year. Oh, no, and Stevenage off. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is
good for him, right?
Yeah, this is what he wants, actually, yeah, because he'll have a nice lead up into Christmas. He'll be on the pints into Christmas and then he'll get Boxing Day off. So that's ideal, yeah. Back for Stevenage, his old club.
So it's going to be interesting to see what we do, right? I mean, I guess this is a bit of a test. Everything in terms of system and setup, obviously Neil Harris has not reinvented the wheel. I think one thing that's been interesting is the impact that obviously George Thomas and Jack Langstrom have been able to make off the bench. And then will it be Thomas? Will it be May? I think that's probably the big sort of question that we're going to be looking at. I don't know. I'm still a bit unsure about Adam May after some of the performances over the last few weeks, sort of towards the end of Bonner's tenure. But then is it a waste of George Thomas's sort of creativity and impact off the bench if you start him in a deeper role?
Here's the thing for me, though. I actually think this might be a little bit of a blessing. Not having a go at Paul Digby or his quality at all, but this is the sort of game where rarely I think we're going to have more of the ball. And I think having a player like George Thomas sit slightly deeper could actually really benefit us potentially and, you know, help us play on the front foot a little bit more. And you think about it, like, he's not going to change. I'd be shocked if he changed anything further forward than that. Like, I think it would be Kai Kachunga. Brophy was excellent on Saturday, and Ahadmi's obviously in a brilliant vein of form at the moment. So I imagine it will be Thomas, because he's a sort of, you know, that metronome that you want. Nice and deep, keep the ball ticking over, dictate how we play. I think that could really suit us for this game. It could be the sort of enforced sub, because I suppose you wouldn't change a winning team if Digby was available. Potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the interesting test for us now. We were saying before is we've had a couple of games where Charlton away, you might think we're not expecting to get a result. Blackpool at home, you say, is difficult. This is an interesting test for us overall because.
A different mentality, right?
It's the same criticism that had been leveled at Mark Bonner, was that, you know, it was sort of dogging him a little bit. It's what happens when a team just lets us have the ball and we have to set the tone and the pace of the game. Like, how are we going to handle it? I think the same question is something that is obviously still unanswered for Neil Harris and his team. So, I like where your head is at with Thomas, actually. I mean, maybe just even bin the double pivot and just,
yeah, maybe,
and just. Mm. A bit more progressive anyway, and just actually really go for it. I feel like as a new manager, you've almost got a bit of leeway, and he's got a couple of results up his sleeve to be a little bit more attacking and aggressive without almost feel like you get sort of 3-4 games at the start where you can be, I don't know, not reckless, but maybe a little bit more more experimental, a little bit more open. You can probably get away with it because it'll just be said you're trying different things and trying to see what works. Yeah, let's go for it. You're right, Jules. Let's just have a pop.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I do think this is one of those games. I'm going to come to your prediction in a second. I feel like this is one of those games that isn't, obviously, it's way too early in the season for it to be any sort of decisive outcome in terms of what sort of season we're going to have. But I do feel like it's sort of like an indicator for what sort of season we're going to have. I remember like Port Vale at home last season, a bit earlier in the season, where you think it's right in the middle of a tricky run. I think we've spoken about this a few times, that like if you beat Port Vale, it's not to say you're definitely safe, but it means that like there's enough in this side to beat the teams that are slightly worse than you or around you at home. And I feel like it's a sort of game, not judging Harris or the team too early, but it just, I think, will give us, I think if we win and we go into Christmas, like two tough games, Oxford and Stevenage away, having got seven from an available nine in Harris's three games, there will be an element of, no, not free hit, Caspel.
No,
definitely
I can see
not.
You winding up to say it. It's not a free hit.
Definitely an element of like freedom in terms of not needing points from those games in the same way. So you can approach those games maybe slightly differently, and you start to separate yourself from the pack slightly. Obviously not decisively, but go on. What's your prediction?
I will say 2-0 United. I think we will. I think we'll deliver on everything we just said. We'll be a bit more attacking, set up to win the game, have a good go at them from the outset. I think scoring the first half, I mean, it's we're into cliche territory, but it's like if you're playing a team in that kind of form, just score in the first 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Like you can probably break their resistance, just like a few weeks ago at home for us against Lincoln, right? It was just like, as soon as they scored, even though we'd started quite brightly, the whole nature of the game was changed, and then we just sort of spiraled out. Is exactly what we need to do against Exeter. And I think you're right in terms of, obviously it's not must win and the two next games aren't free hits, but you win the game, you're going to be up sort of 14th, 13th in the table. Crucially, obviously, Exeter are sort of on that bubble of the relegation zone as well. So realistic to say if we win, we're probably going to be 8, maybe 9 points away from the relegation zone. 10 points even, is that possible? Just doing the maths. Yeah, 10 points even off the relegation zone. And then actually, if that's the case, we're guaranteed you're finishing the calendar year and you can't be in the relegation zone. It'll take us over halfway to the points total we need. Obviously, the Oxford game is halfway point of the season. So puts us ahead of the rate we need as well. So it's just, we just got to go and win this game, right? What are you saying, Jules? You've seen enough.
No, I'm with you 100%. I'm going 1-0 you. So I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be slightly more attritional than we sort of hope or want it to be. Or like, you know, everything we said about how football works. I do think we'll have enough to get over the line because I think we've got the momentum. I think Harris has had another week on the training ground. I think the place will be just before Christmas, nice and busy, bouncing behind the boys. But I think it'll be slightly more attritional in terms of fluency than we're sort of hoping it to be. And I know they got a really decent point at Stevenage last time out, down to 10 men as well. So I think they're feeling a little bit buoyed by that. We'll have a little bit more metal about them than we think. So yeah, I'm going to go 1-0 use. After that, Oxford away, Boxing Day. Obviously, this is a little bit of time away from when we're recording, just under a week. Oxford, by the way, one of my least favourite away grounds in the country, but somewhere where we had a brilliant day out. One of those classic days out when you follow a football team where I think we lost 4-2 that day.
I reckon so. Yeah, this is the one where Tom Walker fell asleep in the pub at like 1 p.m, right?
Correct, yeah. But we had such a good day out that day. It was February of the first year up.
Yeah, I remember it because it was a really sunny day. It wasn't a warm day, but we were able to sit in a beer garden, which when the first one of those comes around after winter, it's always just really nice feeling anyway, if you know.
Yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah. But I do think I don't like it as an away ground. And like I'm almost happy that it's on Boxing Day because it's a pretty good excuse not to go and get rid of it off the calendar. What's your first? I've got Caspel Sean Derry first game anecdote written down here.
You remember Sean Derry's first game?
Boxing I do, 0-0.
No, I think
1-0.
I reckon they must have beaten us 2-0, but maybe it was 1-0. Anyway, I mean, it's just coming up towards half time. You can get your beers under the stand at Oxford. So, me and a couple of the other guys were like, should we get a beer at half time? You know, it's been a pretty flat performance, still 0-0. And the board's already gone up, and it was like 1 minute or 2 minutes. And then there's a big clash of heads. And we're like, oh, let's just go get a beer. It'll be all right. Like, I hope, you know, sure, it'll be fine. Let's just get ahead of the queue and just grab a beer. Anyway, we're down there. It's all quite quiet under the stand. We're a bit like, what's going on? Like, you know, expect it to be a bit busier than this. Anyway, we're having our beer. About 5 minutes later, just hear this massive cheer go off. We're like, hey, Like,
hey,
hey, what's going on? So like, it's half time, no? Like, surely it's half time. Anyway, turns out the knock of heads obviously took 5, 6, 7 minutes or whatever to clear up. The game restarted. Oxford have gone and scored. We've missed the goal. We just, you know, we didn't do a Tom Walker and panic and go like running up the concourse to see what had happened. You know, we just took it all in stride. Just missed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then people start coming out like, oh, I see. All right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe we lost 1-0. I don't think we scored.
At least it was their goal that you missed. 2008 was the last time we won there. Lee Boylan in a 2-1 win, scoring twice. Were you at that one?
I can't remember.
No.
I think not. I reckon not, because I was at uni. I'd have been in Durham at the time, I think. Yeah, so that's a, stretch, that's a trek.
Right, let's get a preview. Let's talk about this year. So here's a preview from Jack from the Took Manor podcast.
Right then, news fans, delighted to be joined by Jack here. Thanks very much for joining, mate, to give us a bit of a lowdown on the situation at Oxford at the moment. It's a bit of an eventful season for you guys, really, since we met on the first day of the season. How's it all been?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think after the first day, everyone typically goes into panic mode. The excitement of pre-season got stamped all over, really, after that first 90 minutes. Then everything picked up, and I think we won 10 from our next 12, and we're flying, and then the manager decides that he sees the money dollar signs and goes elsewhere. So, yeah, it's been up and down already, and we're not even at Christmas quite. So, yeah, certainly an interesting one.
Always eventful. How did that manager change go down? I mean, I sort of get a bit of an indication from how you just described it, but how did it go down at the fan base?
Yeah, it wasn't received very well. I think on reflection, you go, okay, he's got the opportunity to join a progressive championship club. I think really it was more about the timing. You know, it was 15 games or so into the season, whatever it was. He was someone who kept talking about the project, and he'd bought into the project, and then he kind of binned it off after 8 months. So, yeah, it'll be interesting if we ever play Bristol City anytime soon and he's in charge. I can't imagine he'll be royally welcomed. But, you know, you kind of thank him for what he did. He's turned the club around from where we were last March, April time. But, yeah, I don't think he'll be welcome back at all.
What exactly was it that he changed so much? Because obviously last season, it was a bit of a surprise to see you down in a relegation battle with us, to be honest. And what's he changed? Because when did he come in March? And then you sort of ended up staying up fairly comfortably, a few crucial wins towards the end of the season. But what changed either then or in the summer that was so so important?
I think when he came in, he focused on making us hard to beat. So I think he drew his first 6 games or so. We picked up wins at the back end against Cheltenham and Forest Green, which kind of sealed the deal. I think to be fair to Liam Manning, he used those 10 games or so to really assess the squad and work out, right, who's going to fit the style I want, where do I need to improve, what do I need to change. And actually, his recruitment in the summer was pretty good. It happened quickly. It addressed key positions. So in goal, for example, Simon Eastwood, who'd been kind of mostly ever present last season, obviously ahead of Jack Stevens, who came across to you guys. He's dropped to number 2 now. We've got James Beadle on loan from Brighton, who I think most Oxford fans would agree he will play for England. He's in and around the 21 squad at the minute, and he's still only 18, 19. He looks fantastic, but he's your typical young modern goalkeeper, plays out from the back. But he combines it with kind of great shot stopping. So that kind of sums up what Manning did. He brought in players in positions that were going to, you know, focus on that, the modern style, as it gets called, the passing out from the back. Gone are the days of a, you know, massive keeper who just lumps the ball forward kind of thing. So, yeah, recruitment-wise, yeah, you had someone like Beadle. He addressed, you know, got good players in like Ruben Rodriguez, Greg Lee from Ipswich. I think the only real lacking position now is a central striker, but I mean, don't every team want a goal scorer? So we'll have to see what January brings with that one.
Yeah, you can never have enough, can you? In terms of the new man, so Des Buckingham's obviously got a strong connection to the club from his family. I think he's grew up an Oxford fan, right? And from a football perspective, has he changed a lot in terms of how you play? Is he just more of the same from Manning, or?
Yeah, so he's cut from the same cloth, so to speak, as Manning. So they both came through the City Football Group, so they've kind of got that that football education, I suppose, from wanting to play in a modern style. They're very much coaches rather than managers. And yeah, to be honest, he has started off in a similar vein to Manning, wanting to pass out from the back. We're starting to see a few tweaks now. We're looking to get the ball to our wingers much quicker than we always did. And he made a tweak against Burton on Saturday where he kind of pushed Cameron Brannigan almost alongside Ruben Rodriguez rather than behind him. So he's taken kind of a watching brief. He was very honest on that in his first couple of weeks. He let the coaching staff who were in the building kind of lead sessions, and he was there to kind of mop up at the end. But I think over time, he's slowly getting more involved, and we're starting to see, you know, what his Oxford United is going to look like. I think there is a little bit of clear distinction from Manning, but the kind of underlying foundations are ultimately the same.
Yeah. And in terms of, you mentioned a couple of players there, if you were on Neil Harris's scouting staff, who would you pick out as big players to watch out for on I don't know what day of the week, but
yeah, who knows when we're playing, really.
Who knows what day it is.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there's quite a few. There's quite a lot of exciting players in the squad. So, I mean, I think Ruben Rodriguez was probably the standout sign in the summer. Obviously, he'd had 2-3 good seasons at Notts County in the conference, and his data was ridiculous. He's really started to shine now at League One level. He's kind of that classic European flair player with a bit of kind of cockiness about him, which is, you know, I think fans love that when you've got a player who can nutmeg someone and, you know, find a pass. I think he scored 6 goals in the league now, a few assists as well. So he's obviously a standout player. And when he's not played, we have missed him. Cameron Brannigan, I mean, he's one of the best midfielders in League One for me and has been for a while. And the guy just loves to play football, which I think is why he's still with us and not kind of gambled on a move away. I mentioned Beadle already. I'd say as a young goalkeeper, he looks like he's played 400 games, not 30, 40 games. So, and then one of the players in the past couple of weeks, to be fair, who's really come to the party after a really slow 18 months or so is Josh Murphy, a winger who looks like he's got his confidence back. He's been killing fullbacks. He just needs to add the kind of end product to his game, get an assist or a goal, but he's looked bang at it the last couple of weeks, which we've just not seen previously. So, yeah, there's quite a lot of exciting talent in the squad. And it's just, we've had games where it comes off and you win 2 or 3 nil. We've had games where we look good for 20 minutes. And we've had games where we struggle to kind of break teams down. So we're third at the moment, but if we'd have played like we have in some games, we could have been up with Portsmouth. Equally, we could be outside the top 6. So we never really know which team's going to turn up, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And what about the other side of the coin, the weaknesses? If we're going to take anything from the game, where are we going to get some joy?
Well, I think you saw it on the opening day, that kind of mid-block almost, isn't it? Where you let the front players lead it and then kind of sit in and say, come on then, open us up. We have struggled with that. I'm thinking about other games we've lost. We lost away at Wigan, similar thing. Port Vale at home, similar thing. So there is a kind of symmetry in the games we've not done so well in. If a team's basically not allowing Rodriguez and Brannigan to dictate, they potentially got joy. And then the other thing is, because we do look to play wide now and try and move the ball quicker. And in fact, thinking back to the game at the Abbey, I think your second goal potentially was a quick counter-attack in behind the fullback and then a ball into the box. I think those weaknesses probably remain. I think they're probably a permanent fixture of this style, to be honest. I think if you try and solidify us up, you probably ruin the attack inside. So I think it's a nature of the style. We have changed things a little bit at the back. Kieran Brown's moved from left back inside now to partner Elliot Moore, which gives us a bit more physicality in the middle, which will be useful in this league. We all know that there's some big blokes in the league who play up front and they like a bit of a battle. So hopefully we can stand up to that. But yeah, as I say, we're a funny side. You don't know what's going to turn up sometimes. There'll be good attacking play and then we'll look a bit open at others. So yeah, it's one of them.
I assume your expectations for the season are sort of finishing that top six and, well, obviously, you know, aim for the top two, but definitely top six. So I assume this game, you're looking at a team like us in the bottom half at home and thinking it's the sort of game you've got to pick up 3 points.
Yeah, it's the classic on paper. If you're going to be in the mix, you want to be winning this kind of game. But, you know, football's never played on paper. We've had funny results. Everyone has funny results. I think as a fan base, I think the aspiration now is top six minimum, which is very different from where we were 6 months ago, which was, you know, sort it out and maybe have a flirt with the playoffs. I think that's, you know, moved on a little bit. But yeah, we play Northampton Saturday, Cambridge Boxing Day, then we move into a massive game against Derby next Friday. So, you know, everyone will be wanting to go into that with kind of 6 points, but you know, Christmas time's a funny period, isn't it? And you guys have gone well the last couple under Neil Harris. I think it's 4 points from six, isn't it, so far? So obviously a bit of confidence coming back into your rank. So I don't think anyone's expecting you just to roll over and that kind of thing. I think the pressure's on us to try and play our way and then see what happens.
Yeah, and I think you'll see us probably sit in that mid-low block and just try and soak up some pressure and hit you on the break, probably a lot like any Oxford fans who were there the first game of the season. Go on then, what's your prediction?
I'll go 3-1 Oxford, with that third goal being late on as you try and get back in the game. I think there's enough development since the opening day to kind of get around that mid-block style factor. Though the longer it stays at 0-0, I think it's going close to a sellout in the home end anyway, that the frustration will be obvious to all. But if we get an early goal, I'd back us to go on and win.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll give you that one. Thanks a lot for joining, Jack, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Nice one, buddy. Cheers.
Thanks very much, Jack, for that preview. Very different prospect to Exeter, this one, much harder on paper. Their form is a bit patchy. They lost down at Cheltenham recently. I think Des Buckingham, their new manager, might have only just picked up his first win last weekend. I'm going to look that up as I do it, because obviously I haven't researched it. Beating Burton at home pretty comfortably 3-0. They've had some fairly tough fixtures: Reading away, Posh away, Bolton at home. Obviously that Cheltenham one that I mentioned, probably the most disappointing of the lot for them. But despite that, this is the first time, I think, unless you're about to correct me, that we're going to play a team twice. So despite them having a different manager, it's going to be interesting to see what's changed, what's different. They've definitely got a lot of threats. Ruben Rodriguez being a really, really handy player. I wasn't there first game of the season. I was at a wedding. What do you think, is there anything from that, obviously I know we won that day, that you think we need to be very mindful of? Because this is a much tougher test than Exeter at home.
It's months ago, Jules. I can't remember. I think you're right. I think Boxing Day, it's just come to me. I think Boxing Day in like League One, League Two, and maybe the Championship, they play the reverse fixture of the opening day.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. So I reckon for most, this will be the first time they've played the same team for a second time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it kind of works because it's halfway through the season, right?
Yeah, it makes perfect
roughly
sense.
Halfway
yeah.
through, so it makes sense. What happened in that game? Feels like a lifetime ago. It'll be a short answer. I can't really remember what we did last time in a huge amount of detail, but whatever we did, let's go and do that again.
We were very good at letting them have the ball and soaking up pressure and then playing on the break. It was one of those classic early season performances like Fleetwood and Bristol Rovers when it was our winning formula for that early stage of the season. And I can't imagine that is a formula that's going to change much under Harris. Going to Oxford, try and stifle them for as long as possible, see what you can nab on the break.
I think that'll be it, right? That definitely will be like double pivot,
yeah,
backs to the wall, soak up a bit of pressure, and just see what we can do. I mean, we went there last year, was the one, right, where they scored super late.
And we played so well that day.
And we played really well. And we probably deserved a hell of a lot more. So I think if we can just go there and obviously soak up a bit of pressure, it looks like their form has been a bit patchy over the last sort of couple of weeks. As you say, some hard games in there. But I guess this Friday is going to help, right? Because if you go and win that game, then it's not a free hit. But you can at least go there and say the form is good, got reason to be optimistic. You know, if we win on Friday, we can't really have hoped to go there in better shape than we will go, apart from no Paul Digby, which for a game like that, it's the sort of person you definitely want.
See, that's the opposite to what I'm saying about George Thomas, right? That's exactly where you want Paul Digby in there, in a double pivot, and especially after the game. So,
yeah. So I think I don't remember seeing us win there much. So it will certainly be interesting to see how it goes. We've not sold very many tickets, eh? It must be the...
Well, it's a Boxing Day. I actually think that's an all right little following for 400, 400, 500, right? I think it's okay for Boxing Day.
Something like that, yeah, yeah.
Little aspect to consider here as well is obviously they beat Burton last week, 3-0 at home. Then they've got Northampton Saturday, and then us before playing Derby and Charlton. And maybe Charlton aren't the best team in the league, but those two definitely like tougher fixtures. I think with a team like theirs, we've definitely got playoff ambitions. If not, to be honest, probably trying to challenge for the top two, I think still. They'll be looking at that, our fixture, as probably the way we're looking at Exeter, like almost a must win as a indicator if we're gonna be challenging in those top parts of the division. So tough game. Prediction?
I think they'll do us like 2-0 or something. Yeah.
I've got 2-0 down. Yeah.
I think, like, again, hopefully that isn't the case, but if it is going to be a 2-0 defeat, hopefully it's one of those where we're in the game and we do all right and we hold them off, and, you know, they score like 75, 84 or something. Do you know what I mean? They just like tip us over at the end, but we've turned out well, come through injury free. I mean, honestly, even if we win on Friday and you start to feel a bit lofty, like mid-table slash maybe even a very gentle look at the playoffs next year, dare I say it, here we go. We've got to remember what we are this year, which is like to stay in League One as the goal. So if we beat Exeter and we go and lose those two in between Christmas, New Year, and then we beat Orient on New Year's Day, then it's all fine, right? Doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things.
Yeah, and I mean that January run, by the way, is quite presentable.
It's big, isn't it?
Yeah, it's presentable. So you want to go into that in good nick. And that's probably after a new manager bounce. So it's going to be that's an interesting month, that one.
I think end of January, we know a lot, if you know what I mean, which obviously makes sense. But I think we'll have a really good idea of, like, are we 12th or are we 19th?
Yeah.
You know, or somewhere in between.
Exactly. Look, you're going to get some more pods over the Christmas period. It's a tough time to sort of figure out when to put podcasts out. So I thought we'd just outline the schedule. This is the last pod before Christmas. In terms of talking about the games, we've got a Christmas quiz on Friday, which I'm hoping to be able to put out on Christmas Eve if I get enough time between sort of drinking Christmas pints. So hopefully that's Christmas Eve. If not, it's definitely Boxing Day, but Christmas Eve. Wednesday 27th, you'll have a double review, double preview, Exeter at home, Oxford away review, and then a preview of Stevenage away and Orient away. And then early Jan, after the Orient game, you'll have a review of Stevenage and Orient and a preview of Blackburn away in the cup, obviously. So that's exciting, something to look forward to. So a lot of bumper pods over the Christmas period. Caspel, I'll see you at the Christmas quiz on Friday.
Can't wait, mate. I think with my answer about the Oxford home game there, really, really, really underlined my credentials for the quiz.
Well, because of the format, there is actually a chance that it is going to be 2-on-2. So I'll be joining Tom Walker. So I'll just have my feet up for most of it. And I'll maybe try and get a few easy questions just so I can contribute. But if not,
he needs to get a life, doesn't he?
Leave it to my teammate. All right. Thank you very much, mate.
Cheers, mate.